Very good morning to one and all. Today's topic will be from Hebrews 11, 23 to 29, which Deacon Wei An has read for us. And the topic is faith choices. So let me begin with a true story about this woman named Gladys Aylward, a missionary to China over 80 years ago. So during the Japanese invasion, she had charge of over 100 orphans. And as the Japanese invasion got intense, she was wounded. But despite of that, she fled and journeyed with these orphan children across the mountains to escape from the Japanese. And knowing that with danger behind and uncertainty ahead, she was in despair. So at one point, she broke down and said, "I can't go on." And then a young little girl who was with her reminded her, "Say, Aunt Gladys, don't you remember Moses? He trusted God and crossed the Red Sea." Gladys replied, "But I'm not Moses." And the girl, with a childlike faith, said, "Yes, but Jehovah of Moses is still Jehovah." So that's the message of Hebrews 11. It's not about how strong our faith is. It's about how strong and faithful God is. The Jewish Christians, as you are already aware of the context of this Hebrews, received this letter with going through heavy persecution. They were tempted to turn back to Judaism, to take the easier road whereby those Judaizers were not persecuted. But the writer reminds them, the same God who was with Moses, with Abel, with Noah, with Abraham, with Sarah, with Isaac, with Jacob and Joseph, He is still their God. And this God of Abraham, Isaac, Jacob is still our God today. And last Sunday, we learned about how Isaac, Jacob and Joseph trusted this great and wonderful God for the future. And so today, we ought to remember what we have learned for the past few Sundays or even all the Sundays of the months that have passed, that we are going to look to this God who is always faithful, always gracious to us. So this morning, we are going to just focus on Moses, a man who made faith choices that honored God. So the first lesson we learn today is choose to obey God, not man. Choose to obey God, not man. And verse 23, we read, "By faith Moses, when he was born, was hid 3 months of his parents because they saw he was a proper child and they were not afraid of the king's commandment." So Moses' life of faith didn't start with him. It started with his faithful parents. At that time, Pharaoh had commanded that all male infants be killed. It was a very cruel law, triggered by Pharaoh's paranoia aimed at destroying God's people. He feared that they would be a strong people and that they would plot a rebellion against him together with Egypt's enemies. But Moses' parents, whose name were not recorded here, but in Exodus chapter 6 it was recorded, they were Amram and Jochebed. They were not afraid of the king. And bear in mind that the Egyptians revered Pharaoh as an earthly manifestation of their gods, primarily Horus, the sky god, and Amun Re, the supreme king of gods. But to Moses' parents, they did not fear Pharaoh. but they fear God. God is to them is indeed God, and they feared him more than man. So the parents saw Moses was a proper child, as you see in verse 23. He was as Stephen in his sermon before he was martyred in Acts 7:20, said that he was exceeding fair. So this child was indeed a very beautiful child. And the parents had that feeling that they believed that this child was born with God's purpose on his life. Therefore, risking their lives, they hid him. And that was indeed faith, disobeying Pharaoh, but obeying God. As the child grew, they couldn't hide him anymore, especially when he was 3 months old. He has grown bigger, and maybe his cries were louder and sharper. And so they placed him in a basket in the Nile River, not abandoning him, but by faith entrusting him to God. And we know after they put him and let it float, the basket to float, we know what happened. The Pharaoh's daughter found him and adopted him. So sometimes faith means defying the commands of man when they contradict the word of God. So just like Peter and the apostle who said to the Sanhedrin council were then the political religious leaders in Jesus' time. So in Acts 5:29, it was the apostles said to this Sanhedrin council, "We ought to obey God rather than man." This was in the context whereby they forbid them and ban them from preaching and teaching the gospel. But Peter and the apostles told with courage to these political religious leaders who controlled the Jews and said, "We ought to obey God rather than man." So today we live in a time when standing for truth, biblical truth, seems to be fading away. And we ought to ask ourselves, do we stand for truth, the biblical truth that the Word of God tells us? It will cost you something. It may cost you your promotion. It may cost you your friends who will scorn at you, your family who will despise you and persecute you, and even risking your life and having to face death. As many other countries, Christians are facing persecution and death because of their faith. But let us be reminded, we ought to fear God rather than man. We fear him because Jesus says, "Fear not them which kill the body, but are not able to kill the soul, but rather fear him which is able to destroy both soul and body in hell." Do we fear God? Do we have this fear for God? Not just reverence, respect, but fearing him, knowing that he is indeed our God. Or do we compromise with sin and not fearing him? The Bible says the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and therefore we ought to fear him. But unfortunately, today's generation, as you see around the world, there's no more fear of God. People have thrown God out of the window, out of their lives. People have turned their backs upon God. But for us as God's children, we are never to despise him, to dishonor him, but to fear him. So therefore, we ought to thank God that we obey God rather than man, because Jesus died for us. No mortals ever died for us freely on the cross. No one And therefore, we ought to obey Jesus and not man. And we also know that God is with us from eternity to eternity than we do with man. Therefore, if a man would wish to please, he should rather please this God that is eternal, this God that is always present with them, than man. So therefore, let us realize that God is eternal, man is but dust, he is but a mortal being. Should we not fear this eternal and great God than a mortal man? Isaiah the prophet says, I, even I, am he that comforted you. Who art thou that thou shouldest be afraid of a man that shall die, and of the Son of Man which shall be made as grass? So before we succumb to the temptation of fearing man, to compromise with sin, we ought to remember this. This person whom I fear is but a mortal man. He is not God. He has no control over me. Yes, he may be determining my paycheck, but God is my provider. And therefore, we ought not to fear man, but to fear God. And there are many young women who, because they fear man, they fear their relationship will break in their boy-girl relationship. Before even they are married, they give their bodies to their boyfriends, fearing that the relationship will be broken and fearing that they'll be dumped by this person. And that is not what God wants of us, because the person whom we fear did not even die for us on the cross, did not even love us with an everlasting love, did not even shepherd us, care for us. Why should we fear man? Therefore, let us go to God and ask God to give us that courage of Moses' parents and to have that faith in him. So will you choose to obey God, fearing him even when it's hard? Would you do that? Would I do that? May God's grace help us in this very difficult world, very tough world we are living. Second point is, choose to identify with God, not the world. I'll deliberate more on this point, take a longer while. And it says in verse 24, by faith Moses, when he was come to years, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter. So Moses had everything the world could offer. He was adopted into Pharaoh's royal family. Also, we see that in Acts 7:22, according to Stephen's sermon, he was mighty in words and deed, trained in all Egyptian wisdom. And some historians even believe that Moses may have ever been in line to become the next Pharaoh. But at the age 40, according to Acts 7:23, at this point of time, he was 40 years old, he made a life-changing choice. He rather set his affections on things above and not on things below. In verse 24 of Hebrews 11, is recorded for us that he refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter. And that takes a lot of determination, because it's so easy to just be in his comfort zone, to be enjoying the wealth, the pleasures, and to have that status and rank to be called Pharaoh's daughter, Pharaoh's daughter's son. But yet, he refused. He refused to be caught, and therefore, we see in verse 25, choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season. Because he identified himself not with the palace that he lives, he did not identify himself as son of Pharaoh's daughter. He identified himself with the children of God, the children of Israel. He identified, therefore, with God himself. So he chose to suffer with them. He remained aware of his true Israelite heritage even while he was a member of the Egyptian court. And it was this heritage that Moses chose over prestige and power, and he chose to identify himself with God and his people. So I'd like to encourage the parents, don't be discouraged when you are parenting your children faithfully, according to God's word, parenting them, nurturing them in the fear and knowledge of Jesus Christ. Even though they may be naughty at times, they may reach their terrible tools, they may be sinful in many aspects, but be encouraged to continue to bring God's word to them, to show them this Christian heritage that they are in. They are born in a Christian faith, in the covenant of God. And as you desire, as you determine to raise them up, the Lord will bless your child or your children. And have that prayer in your hearts that they may grow up to be Timothy's, as the spiritual son of Paul, the Timothy, and that they be men and women after God's own heart, not after the world. So continue to encourage them and pray, and that you as parents, even now your children are in teenage life or even grown up, continue to pray for them, like what Job did. If you were to read Job, the beginning chapters of Job, how he prayed to God for his grown-up children and his in-laws, children-in-laws. So do not give up, to continue to cultivate this spiritual heritage to your children. And as for children, we know that Moses has grown up to be a fine young man who loves God. And you, as a child, if you are listening now, you ought to obey your parents, to love your parents, to honor them, and to thank them for the Bible that they have been reading to them, to you. May the Lord help you to be not just an obedient child to your parents, but an obedient child to God, to love him more and more as you grow up, and to acknowledge him as his Savior and Lord, as your Savior and Lord. So coming back to where we were, Moses therefore had access to all the pleasures of sin to enjoy, and he had everything, if you were to talk about everything that pleased the flesh, he had that. The lust of the flesh, he can easily succumb to. The lust of the eyes, he also can succumb to that. The pride of life, he also have all these things. But to him, they are but for a season. The pleasures of sin is but a season. They are all fleeting. And so the fleeting pleasures that we are running after, remember they are but just fleeting. It could be food, the pleasures of eating, but we overindulge. Gluttony is always a sin. And the excitement of a new purchase, be it a new gadget, new appliances, a new mobile phone, is all fleeting. And the temporary relief found in drunkenness, the next day you will have hangover, is all temporary relief. Sorrow will return. the brief excitement of lustful or promiscuous behavior, sexual immorality, with that brief excitement. But after that, there is pain, there is guilt. And the hollow satisfaction of gaining wealth or status through dishonesty, and the harm caused by betrayal in an attempt to advance yourself in your workplace. So these are all but fleeting pleasures that we are not to go after. All the ways of sin can deceive us. We are never to be servants of sin. These sins attempt to, we try to fulfill our emptiness with these sins, but they quickly leave us with a deep sense of emptiness, a longing that cannot be filled at all unless we ask the Lord Jesus to come into our heart to fill this void. And Jesus is all sufficient for us, and He is complete, and He is a delight, and if we believe in Him, He will fulfill all these craving for pleasures, because Jesus Himself is good enough for us. And so sin in its nature brings no lasting peace. And that is how Moses regard the pleasures of sin. It is but a season, because he identified himself with God and with His people. So now we look at verse 26. He said that Moses was esteeming the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures in Egypt, for he had respect unto the recompense of the reward. So the word esteeming means considering, putting effort to consider. So he's not someone who's immature, very, very young person, impulsive, but he was already 40 years old. So he knew what he was doing, and therefore he knew the risk that he was taking, and he esteemed the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures in Egypt. And he knows that as he take the reproaches of Christ, the Messiah, he would know that he would have disgrace that will come to him. He would suffer as he followed God's will. So we do not know how much Moses knew about God's future great deliverer, that is Christ, or the Anointed One, or in Hebrew, the Messiah. But he too has the faith of Abraham, his forefather. And Jesus tells us plainly in this John chapter 8:56, whereby Jesus says, "Your father Abraham rejoiced to see my day, and he saw it and was glad." And Moses, I believe, knows about this Messiah, because in Deuteronomy 18:15, he mentioned of a prophet greater than him. And Acts 3:22 also tells us this, "For Moses truly said unto the fathers, a prophet shall the Lord your God raise up unto you of your brethren, like unto me. Him shall ye hear in all things whatsoever he shall say unto you." So we can see that Moses looked forward to the coming of this Messiah, this Christ, and therefore he was willing to take all the reproaches, to be in the narrow way that leads to life, rather than in the broad way that leads to destruction. So he was willing to identify himself with this Christ. And that's what we ought to do today. What's our identity? It's not the status that we have in society. It's not the wealth that we have. It's not the property that we are living in, or the properties that we have. It's not the approvals of fellow friends and colleagues. It's not the studies, the achievement, the strings of degrees that we have. It is Christ. We identify ourselves with Christ. As we are baptized, we know that we are identifying ourselves with the Lord Jesus Christ. And so, in verse 27, is recorded for us that by faith, he forsook Egypt, not fearing the wrath of the king. It means here, when he says forsook Egypt, he is renouncing his position in Egypt, all its power, privileges, all the trappings of wealth and pleasures. And he forsook Egypt. And he endured. He endured. Right? He endured to endure patiently as seeing him who is invisible. Before I go on, there's one point I'd like to bring up to you that there seems to be a contradiction, because in verse 27, it says, by faith he forsook Egypt, not fearing the wrath of the king. But if you were to turn to Exodus chapter 2, verses 14 and 15, we see that he was afraid. Moses was afraid. It says Moses feared, and Moses fled from the face of Pharaoh. Is there a contradiction? Is therefore the Bible having errors? Not at all. Because if we understand correctly, Moses feared that if he stayed, he would be executed by Pharaoh, and then he could have no more part in the deliverance of the children of Israel. Why would I say that he believed that he would have no more part in the deliverance of Israel? Is revealed to us in Acts 7, verse 25, is in Stephen's sermon. For he supposed his brethren would have understood how that God by his hand would deliver them, but they understood not how that God by his hand would deliver them. So Moses knew in his heart that God would make him a deliverer one day, but he went ahead of God, and therefore all this mess came about, and with Pharaoh wanting to kill him, therefore he fled. And that's not because he feared the wrath of Pharaoh, but he feared his fearing that he will never be the deliverer anymore. And so therefore these words, he forsook Egypt, is basically now he turned his back towards Egypt. He would renounce everything that he was in Egypt. And so I hope you would understand there's never a contradiction in the Bible. And so he endured, he bare patiently, he persevered, he bare with fortitude. That's what the word endure here means. And seeing him who is invisible. So what motivates him to endure is this God, the unseen God, whom he knows by his eyes of faith, that he is omnipotent, omniscient, and omnipresent, and he is faithful to him. And he trusted that God was able to protect and assist him, and God would be faithful to his promises. And that's what the writer of Hebrews was trying to bring across to the Jewish Christians in that time, that faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of seen, not evidence of things not seen. So Moses did not just see the unseen God, he saw the unseen reward. In verse 26, the recompense of the reward. He was looking forward to a great eternal reward that God would give him, and considered that is greater wealth than anything Egypt could offer. So that's an encouragement to us, because often than not, when we serve the Lord in whatever capacity, you are serving the Lord in your kitchen, you are serving the Lord in church, you are serving the Lord in your workplace, in your school, you will always be thankless. No one will come to you and pat your back and thank you. But we have faith. The eternal reward is what we are after, not man's praises. Once we have man's praises, Jesus says, you don't need God's praises. So we look for the eternal reward. So we continue to press on, to serve and to serve, and laboring on because of this eternal reward. And that's what Moses wished to have, the eternal reward as he serves him. So mothers, don't be upset when you have labored so much in the kitchen and then your children complain, I don't like this, I don't like that. You are serving the Lord in the kitchen, you are serving the Lord in the house. So continue to serve. If you have nasty remarks as you serve in church, press on. Continue to serve. I'm not serving this person, I'm serving God who gave his life for me. Why should I be discouraged? And so may we continue to uphold each other in prayer, encourage one another as we serve in your own capacity behind the scene. So therefore, we can see that this Moses, he endured, he looked for things that are for a God that who is invisible, and he looked forward to the recompense of the reward. So there's a story of a man who was incredibly wealthy, with possessions stretching as far as the eye could see in every direction. And he brought his pastor to boast about what he has. He said, look at that, that's my properties. And look at that, that's my land. And look at that, that's my cattle. And horizontally, he was, as he sees everything, he was so wealthy. But the pastor asked him, have you looked up above? Have you looked up above? Do you have anything above? And the man was silent. He has never set his affections on things above. He has nothing in heaven, not even a mansion. So we thank God that Moses knew what was above. He had all things above, and therefore it is better than all the riches that he has. So Moses chose eternity over temporal things, affliction over comfort, God over gold. So Jesus also faced the same choice when Satan tempted him, offered him all the kingdoms of the world, but without the cross. And Jesus said, get thee behind me, Satan. Get thee behind me. So let us remember, when we realize we are setting our affections on things on earth, tell Satan, get thee behind me. Do what Moses did, do what Jesus did. I'll take the cross and trust God for the crown. I'll take the cross and trust God for the crown. So now we go to our final point, choose to believe in God's power to save. Here in verses 28 to 29, talks about how through faith Moses kept the Passover, and by faith they passed through the Red Sea. So when God announced the 10th plague, the death of the firstborn, God gave Israel a very strange instruction, and that is to take an unblemished a male lamb of the first year, according to Exodus chapter 12, verse 5. God wanted them to kill it, apply its blood to the doorpost, and he said that when you do that, and when death passed over them, at night, their firstborn will be saved. Their firstborn will not be killed. And Moses believed and he acted. He obeyed exactly as God has said, not because it made sense, but because God said it. So the blood of the lamb protected them. And it's not their good behavior, not the ritual of doing that, not their nationality. It is just the blood of the lamb. So the eventful night pointed to Christ, our Passover lamb. Are you trusting in the blood of Christ today? Or are you trusting on your own works for salvation? The only way to be saved from God's judgment is by faith in Jesus, faith in His blood, nothing more, nothing less. So this precious blood is effective. As Hebrews 9:22 says, without shedding of the blood, there is no forgiveness of sin. And also because it came from a sinless, unblemished Jesus, the Passover lamb, fulfilling the requirement of the Old Testament for blood sacrifice to atone or to appease the wrath of God against sin and sinners like us. So I pray that you will put your trust in Jesus and His blood today, that His blood has the power to wash you whiter than snow. And if you were to look at verse 29, it says, and then whereby they passed through the Red Sea, God told Moses to stretch out His rod. And what did Moses tell the children of Israel? Fear ye not, stand still and see the salvation of the Lord, which He will show to you today. For the Egyptians whom ye have seen today, ye shall see them again no more forever. And he continued, the Lord shall fight for you, and ye shall hold your peace. And so this is a miracle that was done not by man, not by Moses, but by Almighty and merciful God. And faith was still required of the people, even as the sea parted. Israel, the children of Israel, put their step onto the dry ground, put their feet onto the dry ground, and they walked through on dry ground. So if you are there, would you dare to walk through? And so that is how God wants us to have that kind of faith, to believe in His power, to believe in His promises. And His promises for us is always certain. And even when the situation looks impossible, and Pharaoh's army, they tried to follow, a saying means to follow what they do, but they didn't walk by faith, they walked by their flesh of murder. They want to kill these children of Israel to catch them, but in the end, the waters of the Red Sea drowned them. So listen, my brothers and sisters in Christ, the same path that saves God's people is the path that judges God's enemies. God is always on our side as we are on God's side. Vengeance belongs to Him. And we are also reminded that the cross of Jesus is either your salvation or your judgment. Because John 3:16 says that whosoever believe in Him shall not perish, which means, conversely, whosoever does not believe in Him shall perish. So it's either salvation, or if you don't believe, it's judgment for you. So let us remember that by faith, Moses chose to believe, and the people of Israel chose to believe, and God saved them. So God is able to save. I pray that you will not be discouraged today if you are praying for someone who has not come to know the Lord Jesus Christ. Continue to pray. God is able to save according to his will. So back to the little orphan girl. I hope you remember the story in the beginning, whereby she said to Gladys Elwood, "Don't you remember Moses?" And Gladys said, "Yes, but I'm not Moses." But the girl said, "True, but Jehovah is still Jehovah. God is still God. Despite of all the circumstances that we face in life, God is still God. And let us honor him by faith." So let me ask you three questions today. Will you choose to obey God even when it costs you something? Will you choose to identify with Christ and his people, or you choose to be with the passing pleasures of this world? Will you choose to believe in God's power to save through the blood of the Lamb, the Lord Jesus Christ, and through the path he is leading you on, the narrow path, the narrow way, or you want to choose the broad way to destruction? So may the Lord help us to ponder on what we have heard today and of the questions that we have. But as you leave this place, remember, Jehovah is still Jehovah. God is God. Let us pray. Gracious Father in heaven, we thank you that you have given us this passage to meditate on. We thank you that you have helped us to know that by faith we can trust in you, in your power, in your goodness, and by faith we know of your promises that we will never be condemned to hell, but we will be in heaven because of what you have said in your word and what you have promised to us. So may you bless us with your word and help us to live a life that is pleasing to your name. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.